Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I'm going to preach a message entitled, From Ordinary to Extraordinary. From Ordinary to Extraordinary. Heavenly Father, meet with us, Lord. Thank you for the gathering of God's people, Lord. Thank you for allowing the weather to be such that we could come and have church this morning. Bless our bus kids. I know we got a lot of disappointed young people that the highlight of their week is to come to Blessed Oak Baptist Church, and they weren't able to do that. I pray, Lord, for each and every one of them. Lord, protect them, watch over them, and help them to be right back in their place next week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are reading the story this morning of an extraordinary young Jewish girl by the name of Mary. But it's important to point out that her life began in an most ordinary way. Less than two decades prior to Christ being born, Jewish parents celebrated the birth of his future mother. She was born into an ordinary Jewish family. She was given a most ordinary name, the name of Mary. She was raised in a most ordinary way. I think that she did ordinary chores and wore ordinary Jewish attire and had ordinary friends and was educated in a very ordinary custom and attended a small ordinary synagogue. There was nothing probably, if you knew her, that we would notice outwardly that would give us a clue to the extraordinary opportunity, the extraordinary life that she would soon be offered. I want to preach on this subject this morning, from ordinary to extraordinary, from ordinary to extraordinary. Let me point out several things in this story. Number one, the interruption of an ordinary life. The interruption of an ordinary life. In verse number 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. We see a divine interruption of an ordinary life, a divine interruption of an ordinary life. Well, let's look at this divine interruption. Think with me, folks. Are you with me this morning? We see, first of all, this interruption was caused by an extraordinary messenger. I mean, Gabriel is mentioned by name. This is one of three of the original archangels, one of the two left in heaven. Gabriel, one of God's right-hand angels, he sent on a very important task, an extraordinary messenger. You know that the word angel here simply means messenger. Let me say this, folks. I believe in every single person's life, God will send you his messengers to urge you to the extraordinary. Think about that. Satan will send you his messengers to deceive you into settling for the ordinary, but God will send you his messengers to urge you to the extraordinary. And so we have a young lady that's just living out a very ordinary life, and all of a sudden there is a divine interruption because of what God wanted to give her a chance to do and what God wanted to give her a chance to be. Young people, do not ignore the divine interruption of God in your life when he comes to you in your youth and gives you an opportunity to have and live an extraordinary life. We see that God sent an extraordinary messenger. Every single one of us that remember back before we were saved and we were living an ordinary life. But God sent somebody as an extraordinary messenger to bring to us an extraordinary message. And you know what? Thank God for that. Thank God that God did not just allow us to continue on living the ordinary, but he was willing to send a messenger into our life. I don't know about you, but one of the folks that you ought to take time to thank on a regular basis in your life is the person that influenced you for the Lord Jesus Christ. The person that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The people in your life that God used to bring the message of salvation to you. Listen, if they're still alive, thank them while they're alive, because there's many in here that's sitting here saying, preacher, I'd give anything in the world to be able to one more time go to the person that led me to Christ and thank them. But you know what? I can't do that now. I have to wait till I get to heaven. The interruption of an ordinary life was a divine interruption. It was God sending a messenger with a message. Let's look at this extraordinary message now, if you will. Let's look at the scriptures again. Verse number 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, here's the message. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You say, preacher, but this is an extraordinary message that's just meant for one particular lady. I would dare to say to you that you also are highly favored. You say, preacher, I'm highly favored. Yes. Wait, I'm just an ordinary person. Well, you are now, but God wants you to become an extraordinary person. The first thing that he wants to tell you is that you're highly favored. What do you mean I'm highly favored? Listen, you're one of the people that Jesus Christ came to die for. You're one of the people that God loved in heaven so much that he was willing to send his only begotten son. You were in the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ when he died on Calvary's cross. His blood paid for your sins. His blood is available to cover your sins. That makes you highly favored. I hate the false doctrine of Calvinism. I'll tell you, I'm the avowed enemy of the false doctrine of Calvinism. I hate it. I think it's as wicked as it can be. I think the false Calvi God that they've created is not my God. Because God did not send his son to die only for the sins of a few or for the sins of some. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And let me tell you this, there's not a person born on this planet that's not been highly favored by God, because you were the object of his love, and you were the person that he sent his son to die for on Calvary's cross. Hey, you know, if you're just living an ordinary life, let me shake it up a little bit. You're highly favored. You're highly favored. But not only that, let me just say that. You say, preacher, this is just an extraordinary message for one particular young lady. Let me say something else with you. God is with you. Notice what it says here. It says, thou art highly favored and the Lord is with thee. Well, that's Mary. Well, it's you too. Whether or not you realize it, God has been watching you and has been with you since the time that you were conceived in your mother's womb. A matter of fact, according to Jeremiah chapter 1, the Bible said it was the very hands of God that formed you in your mother's womb. He's been with you from the moment that there was a spark of life, from the moment, listen, you were in the mind of God before you were in the womb of your mother. And he's never not been there in your life. Now, maybe you haven't paid much attention to him. Maybe you've ignored him. Maybe you've gone along as if he doesn't exist. But that doesn't change the fact that he has been intimately involved in your life. The Lord is with you. It's amazing after you get saved how you can look back and see how God, even before you were saved, many times came and protected you and blessed you and helped you and bailed you out of situations, simply not because you deserved it, but simply because of his great love and compassion, because he was giving you opportunity and a chance. He saw in the future that perhaps there'd be a time when you would accept him. Listen to me. The Lord has been with you. The Lord is with you. Just because you haven't been paying attention to him doesn't mean he hasn't been paying attention to you. He knows you so well that he knows, the Bible says, the number of the hairs on your head. He knows the number today. I wouldn't begin to try to guess. I don't know the number of the hair on my own head, let alone the number of the hair on anybody else's head. I might have a shot at guessing Brother Tim Burcham's, but I think the chin is the part of the head, so I'm still in trouble. I can't get it done. I mean, forget it. And so there you go. Now listen, folks, God is with, oh preacher, no, God isn't with me. He's forsaken me. He's left me a long time ago. I kicked him out. I told him to get lost. Hey, if you don't know this, let me just inform you of something. You don't boss God around. You don't tell him what to do. Okay, you know what he's going to do? He's going to be with you from the minute that you were conceived in your mother womb till you take your last breath, and he's going to be all that time, if you're not saved, trying to bring the circumstances to your life and people into your life so that you will be saved. If you are saved and you're away from him, it doesn't mean he's forsaken you. He's still there. He's with you every day. He's trying to get you back. He's trying to remind you how much. Listen, he's trying to remind you of the days. Remember the tender days of your life when he meant something to you? Remember when his hand was upon you? Well, preacher, I've sinned that away. You don't send those things away. If you'll, as the prodigal did, go back to the Father, you'll find a Father that's always been ready to embrace you and always been ready to accept you and still has a plan for your life. What an exciting thing. What an extraordinary message. Are you living an ordinary life? God wants to give you the opportunity to go from the ordinary to the extraordinary. What else is the message contained? God has highly favored you. God is with you. Watch this. God desires to bless you and to use you as a blessing. God desires to bless you and use you as a blessing. So here's the message that came. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. God not only wants to bless you, he wants to use you as a blessing. Now here we see in the interruption of this ordinary life, a very expected human reaction to this interruption. Did you see how Mary reacted to this? Verse 29, very human reaction. And when she saw him, now folks, remember, this is an angel. This is Gabriel. He shows up. When she saw him, I love these next three words. She was troubled. I don't know about you, but I sense that might be a very mild understatement of her mental frantic condition at this time. The word troubled there holds more than we might understand if you look at the original word. This scared the bejeebies out of her. That's what it did. And it says that she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was troubled. She was scared. She was confused. Her mind was going 100 different directions at once. And folks, listen to me. When God brings a divine interruption into your life and brings a divine messenger into your life with a divine message, a lot of times what our initial reaction is confusion and fear and what is God doing and what is going on. Watch this. Let me help you with this. For most of us, nothing is more frightening than the thought of giving up the status quo. Ordinary is comfortable. Extraordinary is terrifying. But she has an opportunity here to go from being ordinary to extraordinary. It started with the interruption of an ordinary life. You know what I'm hoping this message will be for a handful of you? An interruption of an ordinary life. God may have sent this messenger. I'm sure not Gabriel, but he may have sent this messenger. And by the way, we're carrying the same message, that God has something extraordinary that he wants to do with your life. Why do you continue to settle for the ordinary when you can live a life that's extraordinary? And you're not going to live that life outside of God's hand upon you and God's good grace upon you. So first of all, we see the interruption of an ordinary life. Then we see number two, the invitation to an extraordinary life. I like this. By the way, I wrote this outline out at about 2 o'clock this morning. God woke me up from about 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Is when I wrote this thing. So I really want you to listen to it, okay? If I miss sleep then, you can miss a little sleep right now, all right? The invitation to an extraordinary life. Don't miss this. Don't let the devil snatch these thoughts from your heart. I grieve as I watch people who profess to be born-again Christians live in ordinary existences. God never intended for you to live an ordinary existence. There was a young man that said in frustration to his mother, at least this was the report that I got, that was being raised here and, by the way, discipled to live his life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said one time to his mother, I just want to be like other people. What he was saying was this, I want to be like the world. I want to be ordinary. And he walked away from the chance of extraordinary to be ordinary. I don't understand it. Young people, I don't understand this. You're being raised to be extraordinary. Don't leave this to be ordinary. Notice the invitation, this extraordinary life, Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary. Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold," watch this, "thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Don't miss this next verse. The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, folks, it's one thing to have an ordinary life interrupted, but you know what? It's quite another to be invited to something that's extraordinary. I don't know if you've ever gone to the mailbox and opened up an invitation. Perhaps it was an invitation to a birthday party, and there was a part of you that felt very honored that that person would want to include you on that special day in their life. Perhaps it was an invitation to a wedding, or perhaps the celebration of an anniversary, a 25th or a 50th anniversary, and again, you felt very blessed that somebody thought enough about you that they would want to include you in that special day. Let me say this, folks. God is inviting every single Christian to become extraordinary for him. The invitation contains an explanation. Watch this. Number one, it takes courage to leave the ordinary and to embrace the extraordinary. It takes courage. What's the first thing the angel says to her? "Fear not, Mary." He was telling her, "Listen, I know you're scared. I know it'd be easier to say no than yes." Say, "Preacher, she didn't have a choice." You're wrong about that. We're going to get to that. She did have a choice. And by the way, God will not circumvent the free will of man. God comes to you offering you an extraordinary life, an extraordinary circumstance, an extraordinary existence. And you know what? If you want to, you can walk away from it and choose to live an ordinary life. The invitation contained an explanation. It takes courage to leave the extraordinary to embrace the ordinary to embrace the extraordinary. The angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." If God did not favor you, he wouldn't offer it to you, and he has favored you, so he's offering you the opportunity to do something amazing, to live a life under the shadow and under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. It takes courage to leave the ordinary. Do you have the courage to do that? I remember as a young man, as I was wrestling, and don't believe that anybody, young people, I know that you forget this because I got my glasses down on my nose and my hair's gray and I'm a bit wrinkled up and worn out looking. And I forget sometimes as a teenager how old 50-year-old people look to me. But you know what? All these gray heads around here at one time was young men and young ladies. And you know what? They had to wrestle with the decisions that you're wrestling with. You're not the first one that walks this road. There's not a man here that's serving the Lord that could have chosen not to serve God. There's many men that ought to be sitting in this room serving God that chose not to serve the Lord. They're living very ordinary lives that are going to prove out to be such when the judgment seat of Christ comes, whether they're saved or not. But you have an opportunity to be extraordinary. You have the opportunity to find and fulfill and live out God's perfect will for your life. Obviously, God's will for Mary is not the same as yours, but you know what? It still takes as much courage for you to embrace God's will as it took Mary to embrace God's will. You say, "Well, preacher, people aren't going to understand." Do you think that that thought didn't go through Mary's mind? All of a sudden, I'm not even married, and I'm with child, and God's telling me that this is a divine miracle, and this is how it's going to happen, and what are people going to say? And I believe still the devil comes to young people that are wrestling with what they're going to do with their life. And you know what? One of the things he uses against you is, what are people going to say if you sell out to God? What are people going to say if you give your life wholeheartedly? What are your friends going to say? You don't think Mary didn't confront that? You don't think people that are sitting here serving God didn't confront that in their youth? You don't think this preacher didn't confront that in my youth? But you know what? I had to make a decision. Do I live an ordinary life or do I live an extraordinary life? And so she had to make that decision. It takes courage. It's easier to sit and snicker than it is to walk forward and surrender. It's easier to sit back and on the fringes and scorn and mock those that are living extraordinary lives than it is to have the courage to walk up and stand beside them. It's always going to be easier. Yep. It's always going to be easier to sit home on the Lord's day rest of your life than to get up and actually come, let alone serve the Lord. It's always going to be easier. It doesn't take any courage at all to live an ordinary life. It takes courage to live an extraordinary life. Let me say this also. It doesn't just take courage. It takes Christ to live an extraordinary life. If you look at the message, and I know that this is a unique situation with Mary, but folks, listen to me. If you understand the spiritual parallels here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Get this. Don't miss this. You know what the message, you know what was going to make her extraordinary? Christ was going to come into her life. Christ was going to come into her life. Christ was going to become the focal point of her existence. That's what was going to give her a chance to go from being ordinary to extraordinary. It takes Jesus Christ to transform anyone from the ordinary life to the extraordinary life. It takes a divine change, a supernatural change. Did you read that? The explanation, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And let me say this, folks. I know we're talking about something unique here, but those same principles still apply when somebody embraces an extraordinary life and says, you know what? I want my life to include Christ, and not just include Christ, but be centered upon Christ. You know what? There's something divine that happens. The Holy Spirit of God comes upon you. The power of the highest overshadows you, and you know what? He prepares you to do something extraordinary. Oh, I want you to hunger for it. Oh, I want you to want it. I'm afraid the devil's constructed a culture that's just produced people with such a level of apathy that I wonder sometimes if they're alive or dead. Where's the passion to serve? Where's the passion to embrace God's will? Where's the passion to be extraordinary for the Lord? The invitation contained an explanation. The angel said, it's going to take courage, Mary. And guess what? It's going to take Christ. And it's going to take a divine change. But God can do these things in your life. Let me define, preacher, you've been talking about an extraordinary life. Just define it for us, all right? Let's define it by the scriptures. Here it is. An extraordinary life is a life that goes from being carnal and ordinary to divinely extraordinary. When these two things happen, Christ comes into that life. Christ comes into that life, and then Christ spills out of that life. Now, let me just use this picture of Mary for a minute. God was going to come and put Christ in him, but let's watch this. Christ wasn't going to in her, but Christ wasn't going to stay in her. She was going to be transformed by the presence of Christ in her, and then she was going to deliver Christ to a lost and dying world. And that is the basis of an extraordinary life. Well, I thought it would be something like what Justin Bieber's doing. No, sorry. An extraordinary life is a life that allows Christ to come in and possess and take full control, and then that begins to spill out and affect other people. And listen, Mary was blessed. You know why? Because God put her son, watch this, inside his son, inside of her, and then she delivered his son to a lost and dying world. And that is the extraordinary life. Now, some of you young people look around and you do not recognize extraordinary. And it's all around you. The Sunday school teacher that you sit back and whisper and giggle and disrespect during the Sunday school lesson is living an extraordinary life before you if you'd recognize it. They have Christ in them, and they're delivering Christ to you. That's what they do. The missionary that comes in, and sometimes, you know, they seem a little bit odd and quirky. And by the way, you go from American culture and immerse yourself in another culture and come back to this. You may not seem as normal. And by the way, what's normal anymore? What's ordinary anymore? As I look around at what the world says is ordinary, I don't know why anybody would want to be ordinary. But you may think that they're a little odd or quirky. We have somebody come in, and you know what? They get up here, and they're so excited to sing about Jesus that it just bubbles all over them, and tears run down their face, and you may think that's a bit odd. Or I'm not sure God in heaven thinks you're a bit odd. That you don't and are not touched by the words of the songs and by the message. And You've become ordinary instead of extraordinary. Are you listening to me, folks? What happens? What made Mary such a special person? God put Christ in her, and then she delivered Christ to a lost and dying world. To embrace Christ, watch this, and to then allow Christ to embrace you and use you to deliver him to a lost and dying world is the essence of the extraordinary life. Some of you got stars in your eyes and you're way too infatuated with Hollywood, but you know what you ought to do? You ought to go out and next Sunday, Lord willing, if the buses run, and you ought to stand at the back door and watch the men that are driving the buses that are pulling in with a bus full of young people that are going to be delivered to this church to hear the message of grace. And you ought to look at that man and say, that is an extraordinary life. That's an extraordinary life. You ought to look at that bus captain and those bus workers that spend a Saturday. I'm talking about folks, most of them 50, if not more, Saturdays a year. And you know what? They have rearranged their life to take several hours of their Saturday every week of their life to go and knock on doors and sometimes plead and sometimes beg for people to come and ride the bus and invite and pray. And you ought to have enough sense to say that's an extraordinary life. Don't ever feel sorry for this preacher. God's let me live an extraordinary life. I mean, I've got to thousands of times walk behind an old wooden pulpit, something like this, different sizes, different shapes, different locations, but thousands of times I've been able to walk behind a pulpit and stand up and open a Bible and proclaim Christ, Christ in me, Christ overwhelming me, Christ spilling out of me. That's what preaching ought to be. That's what living ought to be. That's what soul winning ought to be. That's what ministry ought to be. That's an extraordinary life. And you receive... are receiving this morning the same invitation to an extraordinary life that Mary received these many years ago. The preacher, you mentioned a minute ago what is considered ordinary in this day and age. Before I define what is ordinary in this day and age, let me ask you a question and you can help me define it. How many of you believe we're living in the last days? Would you raise your hand? All right, then this is a description of what is ordinary. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Folks, that is ordinary now. That's normal for this culture. And many, many times, unfortunately, that's somewhat normal for even Christian people. So if that's ordinary, what is extraordinary? Well, the Bible says that in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own self. So if selfishness is ordinary, then selflessness is extraordinary. If covetousness is ordinary, then contentment is extraordinary. If boasting is ordinary, then praising God and giving Him the credit is extraordinary. If being proud is ordinary, then being humble is extraordinary. If blaspheming God is ordinary, and by the way, it is becoming ordinary in this culture, then glorifying God would be considered extraordinary. If rebellion and disobedience to parents is ordinary in this culture, then submission to parents would be extraordinary in this culture. If unthankfulness is ordinary, then thankfulness it is extraordinary. If being unaffectionate is ordinary, then loving people and loving God is extraordinary. If being a truce breaker is ordinary, then being an oath taker and an oath keeper is extraordinary. If being a false accuser is ordinary, then being a truth speaker is extraordinary. If hating the brethren is ordinary, I don't understand people that say, I don't like Christians, I don't like church, I don't like being in church, I don't like being around God's people. If hating the brethren, hating those that are good is ordinary, then loving the brethren ought to be extraordinary. If being a traitor is ordinary, and it is, then being a loyalist is extraordinary. If being heady is ordinary, then being teachable is extraordinary. If being high-minded is ordinary, then being a servant is extraordinary. If being lovers of pleasure is ordinary, then being a lover of God makes you extraordinary. If being a hypocrite is ordinary, then being a sacred follower of Christ is extraordinary. If being silly and sinful is ordinary, then being sober and sincere is extraordinary. If embracing human intellect is ordinary, then a humble acceptance and reliance on the Word of God and its principles makes you extraordinary. I want to live an extraordinary Christian life. I don't want to be ordinary. The invitation's out. The interruption of an ordinary life. Say, what's this sermon for some people in this church? It's an interruption of an ordinary life. It's an invitation to an extraordinary life. Let me show you verse number 36, what the angel says next. And by the way, everything he says for a reason. The inspiration from other extraordinary lives. The next thing that the angel gives to her is the inspiration from other extraordinary lives. He points out somebody else whose life has gone from ordinary to extraordinary. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And you know what God had to kind of do to help encourage Mary to choose the extraordinary? Watch this. Hey, other people are choosing it. Other people are embracing it. I mean, we won't go back for sake of time, but folks, if you go to Luke chapter 1 and start at the beginning of the chapter, the first part of the chapter is not a story about Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. It's a story about a man by the name of Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wife, and John the Baptist. And guess what? They were presented with an extraordinary opportunity, and they jumped at the chance. And one of the things that the devil does is he comes along and says, you don't want to embrace an extraordinary Christian life. I mean, nobody else is doing it. That's a lie. That's a lie. Well, preacher, it seems like that more aren't than are. Well, that's been predicted ever since the Bible's been inspired and given to us. I mean, folks, listen to me. Broad is the way many that go in there at. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. I mean, it's always going to be the minority that choose to be extraordinary. And the majority that chooses to be ordinary. I'm saying some of these different words. I'm not even sure I'm saying them right anymore. Amen. The inspiration of another extraordinary life. Thank you, senior saints. Thank you for not quitting. Thank you for a life of faithfulness. Thank you for hanging in it. Whether you understand it or not, preacher, I can't do what I used to do, and my strength is sapped, and my hands are somewhat feeble, and I can't carry a load. Just being here, you're an inspiration. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Young people, get your eyes off the carnal crowd. Get your eyes off your carnal peers and put your eyes on some men and women that have lived extraordinary lives. Well, I don't think they're all that much. That's because you haven't been to the judgment seat yet. And when you see what God deemed extraordinary, you're going to be pretty glad that you gave your life fully to Christ. So he gives us an example. He says, hey, Elizabeth did it. The divine messenger told Mary, hey, you're not the only one. The devilish messenger will say this, no one else is embracing the extraordinary Christian life. Look, most people are settling for the ordinary. That's the devilish messenger. But the divine messenger says, hey, guess what? You're not alone. And by the way, you're not alone. And I feel like I'm preaching a lot to young people, but you know what? I just got a right to do that every once in a while, so I'm going to do it when I feel led. Amen. The rest of you can just kind of listen on in. All right, listen to me. The biggest lie of the devil is that nobody's choosing the right path. That's baloney. Yep. From time to time, I sneak away for a day or two, sometimes during the summer for 3 or 4 days at a time, and I preach over the course of a year to hundreds and hundreds of young people. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a lie. If you believe no young people are walking the aisle and embracing a separated, holy Christian life, you've been duped. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people just in the few meetings that I'm at and untold other youth meetings and camps. And listen, folks, not everybody's settling for being worthless and carnal and wasting their life. Not everybody's settling for that.
There's young people. Matter of fact, I'm more excited, Brother Jack Gordon, I just want to give you this. I'm more excited right now about what's happening amongst young people across this country than I have been in a long time. I mean, I'm watching something the last couple, 3 years that I haven't seen probably in 2 decades. I'm watching more young men step out of the pew and walk down an aisle with a tear in their eye and a firm handshake and resolve and commitment and say, God is calling me to spend my life preaching the gospel. And you know what? They are determined to do it. The hand of God's upon them to do it. And you know what I believe? I believe God is gathering the young preachers that will be the last day preachers for the last generation, and he's prepping them and preparing them, and he's going to preach them. And you know what? There's all kinds of young men across. By the way, young ladies, you're not being left out. Thank God I can report that there are young ladies all across this nation. And maybe it's just a few in this church and a few there, but you gather across and get an overview of what's going on, and God is moving in a wonderful, miraculous way. And by the way, I don't care if everybody else does choose to be ordinary. If I'm a young person, I'd want to be extraordinary. I'd want to be different. I wouldn't want to be the status quo. Okay? Any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes somebody extraordinary to swim against the current. Are you thinking about this? The embracing of an extraordinary life. We looked at the interruption of an ordinary life. We looked at the invitation to an extraordinary life. We see the inspiration from other extraordinary lives, and they're all around you. Listen, you ought to focus your attention and spend your time with people that are doing the extraordinary for the Lord. I didn't read down this far, but if you look in verse number 39, after verse 38, when Mary says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word," and the angel departed from her, and Mary, what'd she do? Arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. You know what she wanted to do? Once she decided to be extraordinary, she wanted to get with other people that wanted to be extraordinary. Come on now. Show me who your friends are and I'll show you what you'll be. You hang around a deadhead carnal crowd, you'll be a deadhead carnal Christian before you know it. I on purpose spend my time with people that want to be used of God in extraordinary ways and wants to see extraordinary things happen. I want to pastor a church. Well, you know what? That becomes the norm, not the exception. Have you lost it, brother? Have you lost it, sister? Do you still want to see God do something extraordinary through your life? You want to see it. The last thing we see is the embracing of an extraordinary life. That's in verse number 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Did you see that? Well, I didn't think she had a choice. Oh, she's got a choice. See, folks, I believe in the free will of men. I believe that God will not circumvent the will of man. God will not make you choose something. Now, he can make you wish you had chosen something, but he won't make you choose anything. The young people in the, by the way, the families and the Christians and the members that are here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know why I love the fact that you're here? Because you've chosen to be here. You've chosen to be here. And I thank God for that, that you made a choice to be here. I want to pastor people that want to be here. Hey, you know what? At one time you chose to be here. Why don't you choose to be here again? Then why don't you choose to be here again? Why don't you get back in? Why don't you get back on? The embracing of the extraordinary life. Mary had the last say. Let me say it again. Mary had the last say. This produced in Mary an overflow of praise and worship. Listen, folks, it's not people. Listen, miserable. The people that are embracing the extraordinary life are not the miserable people. If you will, jump over to verse number 46, and after Mary makes this decision and after she goes over and spends some time with Elizabeth, all of a sudden she bursts forth with an overflow of praise and worship. And Mary said this in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in the God of my Savior." Listen, choosing the extraordinary life does not make you bitter and depressed and angry. It makes you joyful. Ordinary produces those things, not extraordinary. Amen. Passing up the chance to be extraordinary is what produces those things in your life. But notice, there's no regret here. There's no, oh, wish I hadn't have done it. Once Mary makes the decision, once she commits, once she says, I'm going to be as the handmaid of the Lord, whatever you want from me, I'm just your servant, do anything, use me any way you want to. Then all of a sudden, Mary's heart overflows with praise and worship. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in the God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. Hey, listen to me. Okay, you don't want to give it all to God. You want to live an ordinary life. Please tell me how happy you are. Because nobody'd know it by looking at your face. Please tell me how full of joy you are. Please tell me how victorious you are. How you're just walking on cloud nine, and how God's just overflowing you with the blessings of life. Come on! You know who that's reserved for? It's reserved for those that says, yeah, I could just live an ordinary life. I could fit in with the world. I could just go with the crowd. I could treat Jesus like a little bit of sprinkling on top of my life instead of the main course. Or I can choose to make Christ the center of my life and live an extraordinary life.
Amen.
Amen. Well, preacher, how'd it work out for Mary? Well, she was blessed to become the human vehicle for delivering Jesus Christ to the earth. Wow. She was blessed to carry the Christ child. You know why? Because she chose to embrace the extraordinary life. She was blessed to have a husband who cared for her during these months. She was blessed to hear angels sing as she wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes. She was blessed to watch shepherds worship at the foot of a manger. She was blessed to see the star lead the Magi to bring extraordinary gifts to her son. She was blessed to hear the high priest proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. And by the way, the Bible says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was blessed to attend and hear of her son's extraordinary ministry. She was blessed to be embraced by seeing blind men and walking cripples and hearing deafs and talking mutes. She was blessed to be an eyewitness of extraordinary miracles. She was blessed to stand at the foot of the cross and hear her son pass her care to another as he paid for the sins of all mankind. She was blessed to watch the most extraordinary expression of the love of God in the annals of human history when her son died on Calvary's cross. She was blessed to peek into an empty tomb and realize her son had risen. She was blessed to watch him ascend into heaven as he commissioned her and the other disciples to spend their life preaching an extraordinary gospel. She was blessed to be one of 120 disciples who prayed in an upper room and were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. She was blessed to be a part of one of the most extraordinary days of evangelism the world has ever seen. She was blessed to watch the birthing of the extraordinary age of the local New Testament church. We have no record of her death. We have no record of her death. And I don't pretend to know what happened when she passed on. But if somebody sat beside her and patted her hand and wept for her, she would probably, with her last strength and breath, look up and say, oh, don't you cry for me. Don't you cry for me. I was allowed to live an extraordinary life. Extraordinary life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. I pray, dear God, that we would not be wooed by the world and wooed by worldliness and surrender, dear God, to the calloused, carnal lifestyle that seems to court so many Christians. Oh, God, put it in the heart of a young lady or a young man to be extraordinary for God. May somebody, Lord, who at one time was extraordinary, may your still small voice come and remind them that you're still there. You're still highly favored. The Lord is still with you. The Lord still wants to bless them and still wants to use. I pray, dear God, please, that we would not be born and breathe and live and die and look back at an ordinary life. But because of Jesus Christ, because of our willingness to accept him and embrace him, because of our willingness to let him change us and overflow from us, we could at the end of our lives look back at an extraordinary, extraordinary life.